This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to remind you, peace of mind is tough to come by these days unless you have a Liberty Safe. With a Liberty Safe, you won't worry when you leave the house because you'll know your valuables are protected. And right now, you can get free delivery to your home on any Liberty Safe. Go to LibertySafe.com for factory direct pricing. LibertySafe.com, made in the USA, lifetime warranty and peace of mind. LibertySafe.com.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Friday, a little after 3 p.m., I got an urgent email from my staff saying there was odd activity coming out of Turkey. Some of it wasn't on TV yet or in the news. Periscope and Facebook Live video started popping up, however, showing the Turkish military closing off bridges in Istanbul. Twitter video started to surface showing what it looks like to have Turkish F-16 strafing rooftops in Istanbul and Ankara. People on Twitter began to report an explosion in Istanbul. Instantly, it was assumed globally that ISIS had struck another target. But if this were a terrorist attack, why were F-16s flying low over the Turkish cities? This was beginning to look like something else entirely, and that's when my staff reached out. We have a possible coup in Turkey. Now, to do a coup, you have to control three M's. The first M is the military. In order to initiate a coup, you have to have the full support of the military. By the cell phone videos broadcast through Facebook and Twitter, those behind this at the time apparently had the military in their pocket. And we watched the tanks roll down the streets. We watched the soldiers set up roadblocks. We even heard them tell citizens to go home as martial law was being imposed. Live video showed helicopters open fire on police and government buildings. And we all watched via our iPad and cell phone each stage of the military deployment. It was moving rapidly. News outlets began to scramble to catch up with the activity. It was all being broadcast live on social media. And reports began to trickle out from CNN Turk and Turkey's state-owned TV channel, TRT. Which brings us to the second M. If you're going to have a coup, you must control the media. If a coup is to be successful, the media has to be controlled. It's why Valkyrie failed, because Hitler got to the radio station before von Stauffenberg's people got there. And he said, "I'm okay, I'm alive, and there's a coup going on." That's when it was over. If the wrong messages leak from the media, it derails the entire plot. So employees inside TRT began to tweet that soldiers were descending on their building. Photos on social media and videos on Periscope showed armed men making their way down towards the hallway. As Turkey's national public broadcaster, this was a pivotal moment. TRT's broadcast went down, but the silence didn't last long. A familiar face, the nighttime anchor, returned to read a statement prepared by the invaders that this was indeed a coup and they claimed full control of the government. Well, social media on Friday continued to outscoop the media. Airstrikes were hitting the parliament building. Cobra helicopters were moving down, mowing down police. And step by step, the world was able to see it all live. Now, the third thing you have to have a successful coup is money. The question is, who was financing all of this? Who were the masterminds? Who were the money people? More on that in a second. Now, my question was, at about 3:10, where's Erdogan? Where is he? And rumors were running wild. Social media and the mainstream media were in the dark. Securing or even killing him would be crucial to the coup's success. Was he already dead? Well, here's what we didn't know at the time. Erdogan was on vacation at a resort in western Turkey. Just minutes before the coup go order was given, Turkish intelligence got word that something huge was about to go down, and they rushed to the president's hotel room. Special forces controlled by the coup were en route via helicopters to capture Erdogan. Erdogan security detail knew they'd be outgunned. They assembled the presidential motorcade and prepared to make an emergency extraction. Cleverly, they used the motorcade as a decoy and escaped the hotel in ordinary vehicles, completely unnoticed. Minutes later, over 20 Turkish special forces arrived at the hotel and gunned down three of the president's staff. Erdogan would already be in the air, his destination unknown. Social media was still broadcasting the evolving coup. It seemed to be more and more successful. We were going to lose Turkey. Mainstream media within Turkey was all but neutralized, with the exception of one station they didn't turn off, CNN Turk. Now, why the orchestrators didn't shut down CNN, we don't know. Coup supporters, realizing their mistake, set off to shut down the CNN broadcast. But before they were successful, President Erdogan was able to call in to CNN Turk via FaceTime to deliver a message to his people. The message? This is a coup against me and my government. If you support me, take to the streets. It was one of the more surreal moments you've ever seen on TV. An exiled president pleading for help from an unknown location via a news network producer's cell phone. It is truly a different world. Again, through the social media post, the images and video of armed soldiers began to hit the internet. This time, they were from the CNN building. The broadcast was interrupted. The last image seen was that of an empty TV studio, and then it went dark. But the damage had already been done. Erdogan's message reached his supporters. Tens of thousands flooded into the streets and they overwhelmed the troops and they danced on top of the tanks and the APCs. The coup's inability to secure media was a giant mistake. But more than that, more than half the military wasn't even on board with the coup. A clear split between the coup supporters within the military and those loyal to the government emerged. And as quickly as it began and progressed, it was now beginning to collapse. Technology had given us both a front row seat into the theater of a coup and at the same time making a coup's success nearly impossible. Can you have a coup anymore? By Saturday, it was all over. President Erdogan and his supporters would go on to name several conspirators, but the overall blame would all be put on one man, which brings me back to the third M, money. Erdogan accused the financier and mastermind of this coup, a man named Gulen, G-U-L-E-N, Gulen. He'd been an adversary of Erdogan for the past 4 years, and they've been involved in a quiet civil war. By the way, this is going to mean something to you because I should mention he lives in Pennsylvania. The orchestrator, the accused orchestrator of a coup upon a NATO nation resides here in the United States. But there's more. I had my staff look him up. And it's hard to find much information on Turkish politics because, quite frankly, most people don't know much about it. But modern Turkish politics, at its core, has been a struggle between secularism and Islamism. That was constitutionally what the military was set up for, that if anybody wanted to take it towards Islam, they had to shut it down. Well, in 2002, the Islamists decided to ditch their differences and unite to overthrow the secularists. And the two men that were primarily responsible for the overthrow of those who were secular were Erdogan and his then ally, Gulen. At the time, they had enough in common that they could join. They saw the government as infringing on their beloved Islam. And through their partnership, they were able to purge the government and the military of all the adversaries and maneuver Erdogan's party into power. Now, Gulen, who lives in Pennsylvania, is a Muslim imam. But he also believes in democracy. He believes in women's rights and education. Well, pretty soon, Erdogan's neo-Ottoman vision began to collide with Gulen's idea of a democratic Turkey. So he stopped supporting Erdogan. He started accusing them of corruption. Erdogan retaliated, leading a campaign to shut down Gulen's business interest in Turkey and throughout the world. In fact, many of the dictatorial powers that we have seen Erdogan take over the last few years are all tied to him trying to get this guy. So he's been accused. Now, they've arrested 3,000 judges and prosecutors, but they're all the ones linked to Gulen. The exact day after the coup took place, somehow or another, he was able to come up with names of 3,000 people who didn't participate in it but were enemies of the state. I'm not counting the 3,000 military officers that have been arrested for their involvement. So 6,000 people are now under arrest, purged from the military and the Turkish government. Theories on who orchestrated this. Gulen turned around and said it was Erdogan, false flag. Erdogan is accusing Gulen. Regardless of who started it, Erdogan is conducting his own counter coup now. And he's liquidating anybody who's standing against him. And the scary thing is for us, this is why it matters to you, Erdogan is directly blaming a person who is under the protection of the United States. He's already demanding extradition. Turkish labor minister went as far as to say the United States is the ultimate orchestrator of this coup. The rumor is the F-16 that recently shot down the Russian fighter jet was won under the influence of the supporters of the coup. Simply put, the blame goes to the man who is currently being protected by America. Is this going to work out well? Erdogan reached out to Putin over the weekend. They've scheduled a face-to-face meeting. The more you look into it, the more guilty we look, by the way, with our relationship with Gulen. Turkish government finished the extradition order for Gulen on Thursday, one day before the coup. Were his supporters nervous about this? Was that why they decided to rush the plan? Was that why it was so sloppy? By the way, the Daily Caller also has published an article stating the strange ties between Gulen and Hillary Clinton. Keep in mind, this was long before the coup. Apparently, Gulen supports the Clinton Foundation. An email was revealed that Huma Abedin received a request from Gulen supporters requesting a favor after a giant donation was made. We don't know what the favor was, but we look very guilty in our support. But remember, Gulen has been Erdogan's scapegoat for the past several years. Every time he seeks power, he blames Gulen and his supporters. Erdogan may have not started this. Maybe he did. We don't know. But I can guarantee you one thing, he's going to finish it. And he'll grow more powerful as a result. As Turkey transitions into a new Ottoman Empire, they also maintained the second largest military in all of NATO, second only to us. On Friday, the world witnessed an amazing thing. A coup broadcast live on social media for the very first time. But what people didn't realize, they were watching the world become a very different and very dangerous place.
I am a big fan of disruptive ideas, and this year, Casper Mattresses is on the top of my list. Hi, it's Glenn Beck, and I love sleeping on my Casper mattress. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at an unbelievably fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. And better yet, it breathes so you don't wake up drenched in sweat. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your home. And if you don't love it, they're going to pick it up and refund everything. Imagine that, a company so confident that their product is what you want that they'll offer a 100% refund. Made in America, with free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. Get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Glenn and use the promo code Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply. Go to casper.com/Glenn, casper.com/Glenn.